Oh, well, let's not waste any more time. Let's get on the line. Mr. Whitwer, are you there?
You guys are too kind. What's happening?
I got to tell you that before we even get started, we had Sammy Huntington on last year. And he was in his bed taking phone calls, talking to our different listeners. And I know all the women out there are hoping that you could beat that in some way.
Oh, you mean because he was in his bed?
The pressure's on. You don't understand.
I'm in a kimono.
Twitter messages and Facebook that we got when we announced that you were going to come on. It's like ridiculous. It's like rock star stuff.
Yeah, ladies are going crazy. Ladies are losing their panties right now.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out in a Japanese garden in a kimono. It's really hot. Does that do it?
I'm straight. I don't know. I'm just saying. This is what I was told.
Well,
I'm,
ask the ladies. Yeah. I mean, that's yeah. really, you know what I mean? I don't know. But thanks for listening to the music. That's pretty cool.
Oh, we love it, man. I got to ask you, where the hell did the Crash Tones come from?
The Crash Tones comes from an actor who has too much time on his hands, or had too much time on his hands. I mean, basically, my first love was music. That's really what I thought I would do. I thought that I would just kind of grow up to be a guy who, you know, works some little job and hangs out and, like, plays gigs with his band in Chicago. And then I got kind of swallowed up by the acting thing. And then next thing I know, I'm in L.A. and trying to be an actor, and the phone isn't ringing that much. So I'm like, screw it. I want to record an album. So I did. And then I have a half finished second album. It's out there. it's definitely more out there than the first one. And I just need the time to sit down and finish it, which with all the stuff that's been happening acting wise, I haven't been able to do that. And it's frustrating.
Well, so. Before we get to the acting stuff, I got to say, after listening to the music, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it sounds a little bit like Faith No More might have been an influence.
Yeah, maybe. Could have been. Possibly.
No, because we're huge Faith No More fans, and, like, I heard the twang in the voice, like that Mike Patton twang, and I was like, yo, this is pretty cool. We're music snobs. We're shooting straight with you right now. We are music snobs, and we dig it.
Good. I like that you dig it. I appreciate that you dig it.
It's good to have a celebrity that actually knows how to play music and puts good stuff out. You know, we've listened to, what, how many Bruce Willis albums, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and hey, even Alyssa Milano was huge in Japan.
Oh, boy. How is Bruce Willis, by the way?
Oh.
That's awful.
If you've never heard The Return of Bruno, if you ever want to stick a cheese grater in out of your ear, you pretty much hit it right on the
That's what it is, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
Well, I remember his Seagram's Golden Wine Cooler commercial from the 80s, which
oh,
I think
my
you can
God.
See on YouTube, and I thought that was pretty good. So let's not be too hard on Bruce.
Dude, you're right.
You know?
I can't believe you went there, but yes, you are right. I remember that
Someone
commercial.
Had to go there.
Yeah, you
Someone
did,
had to.
You did. And now, like, you've got my respect. It's
cool. Good.
Well, Sam is the star. He plays Aiden on Being Human, the USA version, on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sci-Fi. It just started up this Monday. Just watched the episode last night on demand, and let me tell you, it was just as good as how we left off. A lot of different twists and turns already in the season. But I've seen that you've been quoted a couple times saying that this is the best season so far. What makes it the best?
The fact that it's the tone. It's the tone. It's also very, very consistent writing. But yeah, tonally, we got it right. In the first season, I really loved the fact that the show took place in the real world and that we didn't really lean into the supernatural stuff too much. And, you know, I thought that was really cool. And it was also, we had dark stuff, but we balanced it out with quite a bit of humor. Second season, it got a little dark. And I dare say we maybe went, I feel like we went maybe a little bit too much into the supernatural thing. Mm-hmm. I know some people really don't think so because some people really love that. But my personal feeling is that, it's, you know, a lighter touch is better when it comes to that stuff. And again, you know, I don't mean to disagree with our many fans who, you know, I've been told by a lot of people that they liked the second season better than like the first season. But I think the biggest thing is the fact that while the stakes are sky high this season, we have a lot more humor to balance out the dark stuff. So I think that's it, man. I think it's really settling on that right tone.
And I totally see where you're coming from as far as the second season goes, because one of the things I was going to mention was I was a big True Blood fan when it first came out. And when it first came out, you only saw that it was just vampires,
yeah.
And maybe you'd see a shapeshifter. Now it's like every character is intertwined with some kind of supernatural entity, and it just devalues the actual character.
Yeah.
I felt your show is very, especially the first season, it was just tremendous at building these relationships between these three characters.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, you're going to see this season is like an amped up, perhaps an amped up version of the first season, you know, where the characters get a lot more of a voice as well. I mean, it's a season where we really get to know the characters better than we ever have in a big way. I mean, character development was... It's what Anna Fricke does. She's our new single showrunner. I mean, it used to be just her. It was her and her husband who were our showrunner for first and second season. Now it's just her, and she is she's a character writer. And boy, you can tell when those scripts came in. You're like, geez, it's all about the nuances of these characters. So we had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool that each episode is named after a song title. And I don't know how the heck I didn't realize this till recently. So with that in mind, when are we going to see an episode called, like, Me So Horny or Baby Got Back, dedicated to Megan Rath, my favorite?
Yeah, well, we have an episode coming up called Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Mouth. I mean, does that count?
Get into my mouth?
That's a really good title for a pornography film.
It's a perfect title for a pornography film, but an even better title for a Being Human episode.
It is. You know, I want to really ask you this. Because your show, even though it would be considered, you know, a genre show, do you think we're in a golden age of television right now with all this great television that's being produced?
Oh, we've definitely, absolutely, absolutely we are. We're in a really good spot with that. And you know, we were in a good spot a little while back, then we wandered out of it, and we're right back into it. So, yeah, I'm happy to report. I think there's a lot of good stuff to watch out there. Tons
of it. What do you watch personally? What's on your DVR?
Oh, name it, man. I mean, everything. You know, I love Breaking Bad and Home.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I love Community. I love.
We love.
I know I'm probably missing a bunch of shows, but I'm. You know, I try to catch up when I can. Like, you know, I mean, look, I haven't seen Sopranos yet, so I'm a little bit behind. And,
yeah, I haven't.
You
seen
know,
it.
I have my Deadwood box set. Haven't watched it all yet. But
were you a fan of Lost?
What's that?
Were you a fan of Lost?
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. And forgive me, but I talked to some buddies, and I basically said, listen, watch. They were totally into Lost. They tried to get me into Lost, and I said, for me. Go through the whole thing, see how it ends. And if it ends well, I'm starting up. I'm going to do it. And those people told me, nah. I mean, look, I hear it's a great show. Those same people told me, no, dude, it's great. But I'm not – what a friend of mine said is they're like, look, you're going to be jerked around for several seasons. And then it's not necessarily going to land where you want it to land. And I said, okay, well – all right, I'll get into it some point in the far future when I have a lot more time on my hands. You know,
writing is crucial, and we've learned that the characters and everything and how it's developed, writing is so crucial. And one of those shows that shit the bed that was a genre show was X-Files.
Well, before we get to that, I was just asking about Lost because you worked with Mark Pellegrino as a star of Being Human. He was Jacob on Lost, and I was hoping that maybe you guys had that conversation where you could have asked him to explain that confusing ending of Lost so you could explain it to us.
Yeah, somebody explain it. I don't get it either.
Yeah, well, again, because I didn't watch Lost, I never asked for an explanation. He's just my buddy. That's all.
I didn't watch it either. I just lied to everybody.
Yeah.
It was great last night. They were on the island.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, dude, I hear it was a great show. I don't want to talk any shit about it, especially since I haven't watched it. I mean, what a douchebag, right? Yeah, I'm not going to watch Lost. Hey, fuck that. That's bullshit. But you know, I will say that it's like I get particular about what it is that I get into. And so, you know, it's picking and choosing at this point because I just don't have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah,
but I feel like I'm missing a bunch of, I think I'm like missing a bunch of shows that I watch. So forgive me if I
have. No, dude, we're just, we're bombarded. Everybody's like, ah, you got to watch this. I'm like, there's only 24 hours in a day.
How I know. No, you're right. No, it's totally true. We're in an age where there's just ridiculous amounts of awesome stuff to watch, and awesome. That's great. You know, I wish that movies would take their cue and start becoming better.
Yeah.
Right?
We were just starting to talk about the Oscar nominations, and it was just ridiculous. I've already seen it, and I'm a big movie fan.
Yeah.
I can sit here and watch movies all day long, but half the stuff. I mean, they said Argo. I don't know if you had a chance to see Argo yet.
Oh yes.
What did you think?
I really liked it.
Did you?
Yeah, you didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it at all. I just thought it was very, very predictable. I thought it was, you know, of course we're going to know what the ending is, but it was just, here's a straight story, here's what you know is going to happen, and the dialogue to me wasn't as impressive, the suspense wasn't there, and it was a decent film, but it's not Best Picture. It shouldn't be Best Picture.
Did it make Best Picture? Is that what happened?
Was it top 10 movies that they put up for Best Picture?
Yeah, basically they put it up for Best Picture, but they snubbed Ben Affleck as Best Director.
Oh.
So it's like you made one of the best pictures of the year, but you're a crappy director.
Yeah, isn't that funny how that works?
Kind of a backhanded smack.
I really liked it. Is it something that I'm going to watch over and over again and become part of my life? No, but have I watched it more than once? Yeah. You know, I really dig on it. I thought it was well done. And I mean, here's my thing, guys. You know, you say, oh, it's predictable, it's this, it's that. You know, a lot of stories have been done before. You know, I mean, you
like
name a type of movie and they've done it before. So it's really now it's about doing it well. Now it's about doing it with care and with a certain amount of style, and I thought that that's what that movie did. I was definitely into it. You know, did I love it? Maybe not, but did I really like it? Yes, absolutely. I'm very impressed with Ben Affleck.
What were some of the best flicks you saw this year? Like off the top of the you know, the dome, like what did you see this year that was really cool that you did?
Oh, dude. Oh, God. What? I love this. I'm blanking on everything.
I like the Dark Knight.
I'll tell you something. I really enjoyed the Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
I think Tom Hardy should have gotten a nod because it's, you know how hard it is for a performer to act under a mask.
Under a mask. Yeah.
Not
easy. He did very, very well. I really enjoyed his performance, and I enjoyed that movie, and I enjoyed what Chris Nolan did with the three movies and how they worked together. I thought that was great.
Because it was character. It was character-driven stuff.
Yes, yes. And by the way, while we're talking about movies, I just want to throw out there, guys, if you haven't seen Moon, you got to see Moon.
What's Moon?
You seen Moon?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
Oh, wait,
oh,
is that
God.
Sam Rockwell?
Yes, you got it.
Oh, dude.
Okay. Yes,
that
yes.
flick is crazy.
Dude, that is a really great movie. And it was made for something like, I think, $2 million. And the production values would not let you believe that it was made for $2 million. It looks way more expensive.
That's a movie that should come with a bag of you know what.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's just such a trippy movie.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad. And the whole thing is Sam Rockwell, he's developed into a hell of an actor, man. If I could have one dude's career, aside from Rock Hudson, it would be
Sam Whitmer. Yeah, it would definitely be Sam Whitmer. You have to act next to that Megan Rath girl every week.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've only gotten through the first season. I just started the second season on my Netflix On Demand.
And I'm a big fan, and I'm watching every single episode as it happens. But before we go back into Being Human, I need to ask you some questions. Star Wars.
Yes.
I'm a big Star Wars fan. Grew up on Star Wars. What was your first introduction to Star Wars?
My first introduction to Star Wars, obviously the original film.
Do you remember the first time you saw it?
Well, I grew up just quoting the movie. I don't remember the first time that I saw that original film. I do remember my father bringing it home, bringing home like 20 minutes of that movie on VHS, which at the time was brand new, right?
Yeah,
VHS was not something that everyone had. And so he brings home this, this 20 minutes of the movie. And I was so enthused and stunned by that 20 minutes, and I watched it over and over again. And this was with the promise that he was going to get the rest of it. Now, keep in mind, when I say he brought home the movie, I'm talking about a time where none of that really existed. It hadn't been released on video or anything. These were bootleg videotapes. People would smuggle video equipment into movie theaters and film movies. And it was for one of the re-releases of Star Wars that he filmed this. And so I was lucky because eventually he got all of them bootlegged. And I just watched the hell out of him growing up.
I had a very similar situation. I remember my dad, I was back in like 82, had one of those bootlegs, the first bootlegs of E.T. And that was when the first
same here.
Out.
We got that one. That was a good one.
The best is that you can't see anything. I wish I had it to this day so I could compare it to like a Blu-ray and watch one and then watch the other to watch two separate movies.
Dude, terrible, terrible sound quality, you know?
Awful.
Really, really bad. Yeah, basically. You're like, you know how the movie starts, E.T. starts with like this tone, like ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the bootleg it's just it's just all over the place.
Like, wow, this is crazy.
All right.
Totally.
I had someone email me this question. I thought it was an amazing question. Everyone who is a Star Wars fan, and I'm assuming you're a huge Star Wars fan, especially being so much of a part of that universe right now. Everyone has a Star Wars story. I'm sorry. Everyone has a Star Wars figure story from their youth, something involving Star Wars action figures. Ask Sam what his is.
Star Wars figure story. Well, I recently went home. I think it was last Christmas, and was home in the house that I grew up in and hang out with friends. And I went down into the basement and discovered that my mother had kept my Darth Vader carrying case with the action figures inside.
I had that.
I thought that was long gone. I had no idea that this even existed. I mean, I guess it was in an attic, and she went and found it and brought it downstairs. And I popped this thing open, and the figures were in really great shape. It was cool.
And you started playing with them, reliving your youth?
Yeah, I did not, no. You'll learn about me. Look, I'm a huge geek, and I will admit it, but no, I didn't. I at some point, hope to transport it to Los Angeles, but I was just stoked that she'd kept that. That was pretty cool.
That's insane.
All right, speaking of being a geek, how cool is it that you can actually play a video game that you're a part of? Is that not the craziest thing, to play Soul Calibur or Star Wars, and there you are?
Yeah. Well, the Soul Calibur thing was funny because I've never seen a version of myself created with a Japanese art style. So it's sort of like me, but I'm half Japanese, kind of. That was really neat, you know, kind of a slight anime influence to my facial features. And as far as Force Unleashed is concerned, I mean, dude, that was a dream come true because, I mean, the guy that played Proxy in that is one of my best friends, David Collins. And so it was like showing up to work every day and you're just making your own Star Wars with one of your best friends.
Wow.
So we were going crazy, man. We had a really good time.
Sam, I played the shit out of those Force Unleashed games. I downloaded the set for the second one where you could kill all the Ewoks and Han Solo and stuff. I mean, those games were good enough to be films.
That's what everyone keeps saying. I think Hayden Blackman, the guy that wrote it, really hit on something with that character in those situations. It was evocative of the original movies and it kind of rhymed with the original movies and the prequels, and it stuck in between, so it had elements of both the prequels and the originals, and I was just glad that people liked it. I mean, we were very, very concerned. How do we create a Star Wars protagonist that's going to feel like he fits in those movies, in the movie series that began in the 70s. I mean, that's because we end closer to that.
I think you're going to get a call from Disney. I think somebody's going to call you from Disney.
Well, they own my likeness at this point, so there's that.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it was really, like, all about if you're aware of where those movies come from, if you're aware of the movies that it references and the fact that the performance styles are designed to be more like 1940s movies than 1980s movies, then you have a chance of creating a protagonist that feels like a Star Wars character. You know, a guy who, you know, he talks loud and talks fast when things get exciting. I mean, it's that type of thing. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting because, like, Star Wars, you have to act to fill the frame because that's the way it's shot, right? You don't move in for the super close-up. You have to act big, and they're big themes, and so they really demand that from the performances. And so, you know, it was just sort of learning about how to perform in Star Wars, which benefited me greatly when I moved over to Clone Wars. So,
well, not only were you a big part of Clone Wars and the video game, you actually have a figurine, a Star Wars figurine dedicated to you. That has to be beyond the video game stuff. That's going to be the coolest thing ever. That's going to last the test of time. It's there forever.
Dude, you're an action figure.
Your grandkids can play with you.
Oscars come and go, Sam, but action figures are forever.
They never die.
Well, there's actually several Starkiller action figures. They've come out every now and then and with different, I don't know, different accessories or whatever, different wardrobes. But yeah, man, you're right. You like, I went to this prestigious theater school and everyone's teaching me about like Shakespeare and all this wonderful stuff that has to do with the tradition of theater, but the whole time you're just thinking about like, well, yeah, but how cool would it be if I had an action figure that had a lightsaber? So that worked out. That was cool. That actually happened. I'm still stunned that ever took place.
Like, you never need a pickup line ever again. All you gotta do is be at a bar and be like, this is me, and pull out an action figure.
I'm not sure if that works, dude.
I think you should
try
it. You gotta try it.
I'd be like, hey baby, want to check out my lightsaber? Yeah, I mean,
want to play with me?
Yeah, exactly. It's. I mean, I think it's almost a Beavis and Butthead pickup line right there. You know,
that's awesome.
Hey,
but,
baby.
You don't need those pickup lines because, like I said before, we receive tons of emails from frenzied fans. Twitter now, with all the social media, it gives people the potential to stalk you more and more.
Oh boy.
They have access to their favorite stars more than ever. What's the craziest message or tweet that you've ever gotten?
Craziest message or tweet? You know, I couldn't even reproduce it for you because it was English wasn't a first language. But on the other hand, I'm not sure what the first language was, because you can sort of pick out the sense even from people in other countries. You can pick out the sense of what they're saying. But this one was erratic and went everywhere from I admire you to, you know, you have stolen my ideas and you will pay, to can we be friends? All in one message. All in one message. You're just like, oh, okay, so I've infringed upon your ideas somehow, and yet we're buddies. And I mean, it had this sort of slightly threatening edge to it, so that wasn't great.
Well, here's some of the stuff that we saw on different message boards or on different tweets.
Oh, God.
These are quotes. He must be good in bed, sexy, sexy, loving it big time, and I love you, Sam baby. Now, the most interesting one was, he is so cute, it hurts. What does that mean? What does it hurt?
I don't know. I don't know. Because I wouldn't call cute. I've sort of got a big block of cheese for a face. I don't know what they're talking about. It hurt. It must hurt their eyes. I'm not sure. I could not speak to what it is that they're seeing. I mean, look, any actor who has an ounce of sanity hates a little bit watching themselves perform, because it's just an odd, unnatural experience, and you're looking at it and going, that's what I look like? Jesus.
Hey, you got nothing to complain about. Come on, that's like Brad Pitt complaining about something.
I
got a pimple right there. It's got to go away.
Well,
dude,
you guys are kind.
I'll tell you, man, you have had one hell of a career thus far. I mean, it's insane how much stuff you've done, especially like The Mist.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite adaptations of a Stephen King book, number one. And number two, Thomas Jane was great in that. I mean, the whole production. And Matt, you were talking about the special edition.
Oh, yeah, it's in black and white.
Yeah,
Black and White Edition. And the cool thing was, I had read that Stephen King actually said that was his favorite adaptation to film of any of his films.
It was mine.
Yeah, me too.
It was mine.
But very underrated film.
Yeah, seriously. And you know what? A lot of people did not like the ending of the film, but I thought it was tone and pitch perfect. Americans don't like unhappy endings.
I mean, that's the thing. It's funny because if you hear from British people or people in England, they're generally more for that ending than Americans are. I thought the ending made the whole thing work, frankly. When I saw it, it's like you're watching something you've done. It's like watching a high wire act, and you're just really hoping that the performer gets to the other side intact. And if they do, you go, yes, we did it. And that's what it was like watching The Mist. And when that ending happened, I felt like we stuck the landing. Okay, see, now I'm using different metaphors. I'm using a gymnastics metaphor and a circus metaphor, but you get what I'm saying, right? Well, as soon as that ending happened, I felt like, yeah, good. I now can say that we did a good movie, especially since, I mean, you have that woman in the end, that woman who refused to be afraid so much that she went off to look for her kids. And had anyone been brave enough to go with her, they would have been fine too. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
You can have a great story, but your story is only as good as your characters. And I think really that's the vibe I get from you too, that you're in that school of thought as well.
Well, speaking of characters, I think this is funny. Just looking you up on IMDb, certain people want to compare you to other people. Now, these are the comparisons that they made. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What?
Morrissey. These are the people they say you look like. Sorry. And they compare you to physically. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Morrissey, the wrestler Randy Orton, Phil Anselmo, Henry Rollins, and a young Charles Manson.
Okay, I almost vomited.
I get the Charles Manson one. I understand that. I mean, if you shave the guy, there's a resemblance there. So other than that, I couldn't speak to it. The Schwarzenegger thing, I don't know where they're getting that.
Schwarzenegger, who's like the pinnacle of manliness, to Morrissey, who's not.
Right. You know what's funny is I remember reading it on some sort of, I can't remember what it was, if it was a blog or whatever, but I remember reading someone expressing that I was on steroids and that I had the look of a man on steroids and that it was beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was just fully doing, I was roided up, to which I was like, oh, that's kind of awesome. I would have hoped I would have gained more mass on steroids, but hey, all right. You know, but they were like, he has the Cro-Magnon brow of a man on steroids, so he must be on steroids. You know, and I'm like, well, guilty as charged, but that's just genetic. There's nothing I can do about it.
It's just like, they're going to accuse you, but it's like, we got Sly Stallone, February 1st, bullet to the head's dropping.
He's like 90 years old.
He's like 60-something years old, and he looks better than all three of us put together. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny. It's like Liam Neeson and Harrison Ford and people like that. It's, you know, growing up, you're like, good. See, it's okay to have a big, heavy ass brow. It's cool. It's fine. No one's going to hold it against you.
No, women dig that. Believe it or not, I was actually watching this program on one of those channels. I don't remember. But the point is that they were talking about, like, women look at men's brow. They look for a strong brow because it means
what,
that,
the brow is like a tits to a man?
The brow is basically means that you'll be able to, A, protect them, and B, fertility.
Well, is that by wielding your head as a blunt instrument? I mean, what do you do?
China, and then all of a sudden they'll be pregnant?
Dude,
that's right.
Yeah, this is why you get half the story, because I watched half the program.
Oh, I see. You stuck around long enough to hear that they said it, but you didn't care about why.
Yeah, this is all I need to know. I'm good.
Well, we got a lot of really cool email questions, and I think it's a great – I guess this is going along the same lines of the premiere of Being Human, which airs Monday nights on Sci-Fi at 9 p.m. Eastern. This is from his name is Sam from Toronto. Would you rather be buried alive or be the father of a Kardashian baby?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Buried Alive, Less Trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. This one's from Tara from New Jersey. Is it true that you are brothers with that Queen Blaine on Glee?
I don't even know who that is, so I doubt very much that he is my brother, unless there's something my dad didn't tell me.
Yeah, I'm also a heterosexual man, so I can't answer that question.
I've never seen the show.
Sorry.
This one is from Tony from Yonkers, New York. If Aiden had a vampire diary, fantasies.
Wait, say that again. You cut out for a second.
If Aiden had, I think you phrased this wrong. I think you got it confused with the UK one. But if Aiden had a vampire diary, how much would it consist of Sally fantasies?
No, he's not confusing that with a British one.
No, he had said Annie, so I think he got confused between the two characters.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, that's a complicated question, one that perhaps we explore a little bit in this season. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh, so one thing about this season, I saw the common attractions for other episodes. We don't have to see her in that gray sweater.
I know. Dude, you have no idea how happy she was about that.
You have no clue how happy I am about that.
I'll let her know.
I'll let her know.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Anyway, here's a great one. Talking about Sally, Megan Rath, who plays Sally on Being Human. This is a great question. This is actually from Jennifer from Connecticut. She wants to know, especially with all the new technology and the video games, why does Sally always play this game Limbo?
I don't know. Got to limbo around the clock. Got to do the limbo rock. Check, be nimble, check, move quick. You know, I mean, it's like, dude, it's just got a great theme song. She's up for the theme song.
We have another question. This is actually pretty interesting. I had heard a rumor, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you were a part of the first episode, but there was rumors that Frank Darabont wanted to cast you as a main character in The Walking Dead.
That is definitely a rumor, isn't it?
Really? That's
well,
the rumor?
Look, it's possible. But I think he ended up with a fantastic cast. Frank and I have been trying to work together for a while, but we can never make the scheduling work because I get swallowed up by a project or he's busy doing something or stuff like that. It'll happen at some point. Sooner or later, we'll work together again. But yeah.
Let's just say
it's possible. I'm going to say,
if you were to be a cast member of Walking Dead, which one would you prefer to be?
Who would I have been?
Who would you have preferred to be?
It's, I don't know how classy it is to.
I'm curious, who would you prefer to be?
Yeah, look, it's. The bottom line is he settled with a good cast. Everything worked out. Everything worked out the way that it should have. It's interesting, right? Because Walking Dead, I think, is a fantastic show. I feel fortunate to have not been there because I would have lost my fucking mind when the shit went down with him and AMC. I mean, I would have lost it. I did lose it. If you go on YouTube, you can see me losing it. Blacklisting myself from any AMC project ever in the future.
Don't worry. After Breaking Bad and this is Walking Dead, they'll never have anything ever again. They've ruined themselves. It's ridiculous.
They made some very careless moves. Yes.
Very, very bad mistakes. And you and Kurt Suter were the only ones that actually spoke up against this.
Yeah,
well,
kudos.
Yeah, but to be fair, neither of us work for them. I mean, let's be honest, man. There are a lot of people who would have spoken up if they weren't threatened with being fired or sued. So, it isn't cowardice that people didn't speak up. It's simply that they were all locked into a position that was very, very bad by a bunch of scary lawyers. It was not cool, man. So that, had I been there, I would have absolutely lost my mind and probably done something rash.
Rash? Did you say do
something?
Something.
See, I would have brought Megan Rath, and she would have kicked ass. Uh-huh. No, I would have done something that I probably shouldn't have, because Frank and I are close. So I would have taken that very, very hard. So I felt that I felt like it was good that I wasn't there. And the other part of it is that being human has taught me how to do a lot of things that I didn't know how to do. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. The stuff that I would have done for Walking Dead had I been hired for that pilot, I knew how to do. It's stuff that I was good at, I think, which is why we were talking about me becoming a, you know, one of the leads of that anyway. But, you know, being human is a bunch of stuff that I didn't know how to do. I didn't know how to walk into a scene and play it deadly serious and do stuff that could make the audience smile or laugh while being deadly serious. When I was in drama school, everyone thought I was going to be a big, like, comedian guy, and then I spent years after that doing nothing but drama stuff. So, you know, I've been, like, boning up on how to make you cry or scare you or do this or do that or have dramatic scenes. Being human has taught me how to do a hell of a lot more than that. So, you know, and still play it. I mean, it's one thing to do comedy when you're doing it broadly, when you're playing it big, when you're pumping up your performance to an unrealistic level. It's another thing to play it small and play it realistically and still be funny, you know. And the other key is your character doesn't know it's funny. That's something I didn't know how to do. So being human, that and all the flashbacks they give me and all the wonderful scenes that they write for us has really challenged me to become a better actor. So I think it all ended up the way that it should have. You know, Walking Dead certainly would have benefited me in other ways, but I, you know.
Yeah, you know what, though? You're a genre god. You're a genre god. I mean, what you've – Battlestar Galactica, Being Human, Star Wars, so I mean
– Smallville, yeah.
Smallville. Oh, it's like the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
No, well, before we let you go, I know we're on limited time here. Do you mind taking a couple phone calls real quick?
Let's do it.
All right, we got Gerard from Florida. Gerard, you're on the line.
I actually forgot what I was going to ask because I just found out they're going to remake Gremlins, and I'm very upset.
Oh, great. Thanks. Got waited on 45 minutes for that. Okay, we got Dana from Burbank, California. Dana, you're on the line.
Hi, it's Dana from Being Fams.
Hey, Dana. How you doing?
Great. I know that we know that there's rumors and speculations about possibly a flashback story you did this year for Being Human, and I know you can't talk about it, but how much have you thought about Human Aiden, or, you know, right before turning, and how much have you built up in your own head what his story was?
Quite a bit. That's definitely been in my mind. As for the specifics, I don't know huge amounts. You know, I could share some things, but really I like to leave these things to the audience's imagination until such time that we actually do those types of stories. But yeah, I have to, I mean, with all the flashbacks, the story all has to make sense. You know, 1918 Aiden has to lead to 1930s Aiden has to lead to 50s Aiden has to lead to 70s Aiden. So the story does in fact make sense if you follow it all the way through, to modern day.
Nice. I love your porn stash, by the way, in the 30s.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Porn stash.
Oh, man. I like this girl.
I love it. Thank you, Dana. Let's take one more call. We got Chris from Maryland. Chris, you're on the line.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Sam.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. I was the one that sent you that Twitter message, and that partially comes from when I'm on Ambien.
Twitter message on Ambien? Oh. No. Yeah. I believe me, it wasn't you.
Oh, okay. But, dude, I know you are real, and I closed my eyes to the others because I made a promise I'll stay there.
Okay. Maybe it was you.
Yeah.
Crash time, baby.
Right on, man. Sounds good.
Well, thanks, Chris from Maryland. All right, and one more question here. I need to know, how the heck did you get Glenn from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia involved in the Crash Tones?
Oh, my God. No way.
He's a buddy of mine. We go way, way back. We go back to college together, and we've been close. God, ever since I was 18 years old. So, you know, we're buds, and we're kind of working on developing something together that we have written a very promising pilot. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But there's, it's a comedy project. Me and Glenn were kind of the class clowns in college, in our little group, and so we basically, I guess they were looking for projects, and someone asked Glenn if he had something, and he actually pitched something that me and him and another buddy of mine named Patrick Hallahan, who also is in the Crash Tones, he pitched something that we all invented in college, and they loved it. So they paid us to write it, and now we're seeing what we can do with it.
That's like the best of both worlds. Two of my favorite shows, Being Human and Sunny Philadelphia,
it
put
is.
Together. That would be like
great
a
show,
like,
right?
It's like the Super Friends of like a rock band.
Well, here's another piece of trivia for you. they did one pilot, and that got the attention of FX. Then FX asked them to do a second pilot on their own with no money, to see if they could do it again. And on that second pilot, the one that was essentially a little bit closer to Always Sunny as we know, I camera operated it.
Really?
I was one of their cameramen.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, I need to ask one more question. So will the tagline be the same next year, a vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost all living in a house together?
It's going to be a vampire, a Frankenstein, a robot, and a mummy.
And a Twitter stalker.
Yeah, it's Twitter stalker. All of these things, that's what it's about. So, yeah. Spoiler alert, characters are either going to be killed or turned into robots or mummies.
See?
That is
breaking
so
news,
cool.
The exclusive here first, Robots and Mummies this season on Being Human, which airs Monday nights on the Sci-Fi Channel at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Sam, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Have a good night.
Bye. See ya.
Sam Witwer from Being Human.